Let's read again in Philippians 3 and verse 9. And today and next week I want to look at this verse. Philippians 3 and verse 9, where Paul says he wants to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I don't want my own righteousness, I want God's righteousness, is what he says. I don't know if you were struck when you were singing that last section. There's a lot of big words in that passage that we sang there. Word like ambassador, of course, but righteousness, propitiation, reconciliation. Big words like that. And one of these big words is what we're going to look at today, and it's the word righteousness. And it's such an important thing, righteousness. Such an important thing. We sing about it often. We sing Psalm 23, God leads us in the paths of righteousness. Why? Why would he lead us in the paths of righteousness? Why in 2015 would we want to be righteous? Why would that be important for us? There's all sorts of things, no doubt, being pressed upon us from various directions, us being important for us to be or to do in 2015. But I think that it's important for us to consider something that never goes out of fashion, something that never becomes irrelevant or is superseded, something that is always in, something that is always important, and that is righteousness. It's important because it's important to God. God is righteous. When we say that God is righteous this morning, we mean that God is who he is. He has his way of living, his standards, his thoughts, and just by being what he is righteous. He is the very definition of righteous. He is good. Being God means that he is able to live in harmony with others who are also righteous, means that he is able to express love and compassion and peace, kindness. And if we want to share in his righteousness and his fellowship, then we ourselves also need to be righteous. If we want to share in his company, if we want to live with him, if we want to share the future that he has, righteousness is absolutely important. So, on your list of things that are important for 2015, if you've got a wee list of things I want to do or things I want to be in 2015 or things that I want to aspire to, then here is something that should be the top of the list. We want to be righteous. We want to be righteous because if we are righteous, we'll be able to have a relationship with God. If we're not righteous, that is impossible. The reason why people in this world stumble around in ignorance of God is because of their unrighteousness. There is no other reason why people are unfamiliar with God than on account of their own unrighteousness. It's the lack of righteousness. It's the lack of living lives that are upright and pure by God's standards that means that people live as aliens and strangers to the living God. And if we want to have a relationship with God, if we want to have fellowship with God, then we are going to have to be righteous. So let's start there. I want to take this study somewhere, particularly next week. I want us to really see what we put our faith in, in 2015, and we'll think about that all being well next week. But how righteous do you and I have to be in order for us to enjoy a relationship with God? If that's what we really want for this year, if we want to know our Maker, if we want to enjoy the friendship of our Creator, if we want to live in harmony with the God who is behind all things, if we want to share in His eternal future, how righteous do we have to be? Paul thought he was good enough when he was Saul of Tarsus. He says, if we go to verse 4, that he had reasons to put confidence in his flesh, and that is in what he could do, his efforts. He said that because, verse 5, he was circumcised, and because he was born into the right people, the Israelites, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he had impeccable parentage, he had been looked after and brought up in the right tenets and rituals of the Jewish religion, and then he had graduated himself as a Pharisee, as a man who had taken care to learn all the details of the Mosaic law and to try and apply that law to every aspect of his life, and at the same time to abhor any aberrations from what he thought was the right way, and so to persecute the Church of Jesus Christ, as verse 6 says, and so to live with zeal in his own eyes for God, that he thought he was faultless. He thought that God could not find fault with him. But Jesus had come along and said in the Sermon on the Mount and many other occasions, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, actually, if you think you're righteous, you don't understand what righteousness is. If you think that your religion and your neighborliness and your integrity is good enough for God, you do not understand what righteousness is. It's a bit like you thinking that you can walk and never stumble. Have you walked and never stumbled? Well, of course you have stumbled. We've all stumbled. We all stumble every day. And even if we manage not to stumble from now on, we've already stumbled in the past. And righteousness is like that. It's already too late for you and for me to think that we could attain the righteousness that God requires, the righteousness that is compatible with Him, the righteousness that makes us able to live in harmony with Him. It's not just a matter of us trying a little harder or doing a little more. We've already blown it. Of course, it's good for us to try and be good people, and of course, it's good for us to try and be good neighbors and responsible citizens. It's better for everyone if everyone tries to be as righteous as they can be. But don't we want more than that? If all we want to be is just people who can fit into the community in Plockton and not upset things too much and get on with our neighbours and find our place in our families, are we missing what a great destiny we could have? Because God calls us heavenwards, as we read at the end of our reading, verse 14. He calls us heavenwards. He calls us to live with Himself. He calls us to occupy the same dwelling as He occupies. He calls us to live with the angels. He calls us to live in perfection. He calls us to live in his own presence. He calls us to live forever. But my righteousness is no use for that. My righteousness can't take me up there. It can't bridge the gap between what I am and where I am and what God is and where he is. Paul says when he truly met with Jesus, he had to discard any hope that he could be good enough himself. In fact, he realized that if he could have been good enough, Jesus wouldn't even have needed to come in the first place. As he says in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, I put no confidence in the flesh, he says. And again, in verse 9, he says, I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. My righteousness is never going to be good enough. Not something that we need to impress deeply upon ourselves. Something that we need to appreciate completely. Something we need to know absolutely. Something we need to learn in life. You know, there are things we need to learn in life we need to be realistic about. You know, children are told today, for example, you can be anything you want to be. What a lot of rubbish. No, they can't. Of course they can't. Tell children, be the best you can be. That's different. Tell them to aspire to use their gifts and their abilities to be the very, very best that they can be. But don't tell them they can all be brain surgeons or astronauts, because they can't. Very few have that. And, you know, I suppose there was a stage in my life, in fact, I would still like to be an astronaut. Yeah, I would. I would still, if I got the chance, I would go. I'd be that person that would go to Mars as long as I could come back by Christmas or whatever, you know. I would love to do that. But be realistic. I have to come to terms with the fact I'm never going to be an astronaut. And, you know, kids growing up have to come to terms with the fact, and they do, and sometimes it's very painful for them, that they can't be all they can be. That it's a lie to be sold that. And often they're striving to be something and everyone knows they're never going to be good enough. They don't have it. They don't have the gifts. They don't have the abilities. We need to realize that about righteousness as well. We have to recognize, just as we're never going to be astronauts, we're never going to be righteous enough to live in the presence of God. Certainly, if it's up to us and our gifts and our abilities, no. Is that the end of the story? Do we have to live in disappointment? All this Christian preaching about heaven and about God and the joy of living in fellowship with him, is it just an exercise in futility? Well, it would be if it was left to us. We would be striving and attaining for something we could never reach. You know, trying to follow our dreams when our dreams were impossible in the fulfillment. But in the gospel of Jesus, God has told us that even though we can't make it to supply the righteousness that means that we can be with him and be in his presence, he is willing to supply it for us. Because God wants you today to dwell with him today and forever. God wants you today to be with him. He wants you, therefore, to be righteous He knows, even if you don't know or I don't know, clearly, He knows how righteous we need to be. And He knows that if we're going to be that righteous, the only way it's ever going to happen is if He makes it happen. And so in verse 9, Paul says that he's discovered that he can't live before God with a righteousness of his own that comes from the law. He needs something else. That righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Where does it come from? It comes from God. How do we get it? Through faith in Christ. Now we'll think more about the faith side of things hopefully next Sunday. But let's just think about this for a minute. Righteousness. God is telling us today we have lost righteousness. We never had it. We never got there. We began by stumbling. We began our first faltering steps of doing what should have been right. We're stumbling. We're faltering. We're failed. And we began that way. And we've continued that way. However good we are, we've already lost righteousness. We can't achieve righteousness. Righteousness is something that is out of our reach. We can be all we can be. But we're never going to be righteous unless God gives it to us. And here it is in verse 9. There is a righteousness that comes from God. A righteousness which God endorses because God supplies it. It's His own righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness. Where does this righteousness come from? It comes from God through Christ. Where did it actually get put together? Where did it actually get made? Where did it actually fabricated by God? It got fabricated in the life of Jesus. It's Jesus' righteousness that God would give to us. Now Jesus was so righteous that God could look upon Him and say, "Here is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus was compatible with God. He could live in fellowship with God. There was no problem about God being close to Jesus. God could come and meet with Jesus in transfiguration. God could come and envelop Jesus in a cloud of glow of His glory at any time. God could dwell by His power in the life, in the heart of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was righteous. And the righteousness Jesus had was not a gift given Him. It was His own. Uniquely among human beings, it was His own. Now Jesus was tested. Jesus was constantly being probed. Constantly having His ability to keep to the standard of God's righteousness examined. And it was constantly found to be perfect. I was thinking about this morning and just about how amazingly righteous Jesus was. It's not like Jesus went and lived in a cave. It's not easy to be righteous even in a cave, as many people have found. As many Christians who've mistakenly taken their devotion to the level of trying to live alone as hermits. I say mistakenly because often they've done that because they want to be away from sin. And they find that they've taken themselves with them. And that they've got their own thoughts in that cave. And their own thoughts are trouble enough to them. But Jesus didn't just have His own thoughts. He lived in a big family. If you want to bring out unrighteousness in people, put them in a big family. Where, along with the rough and tumble of growing up among brothers and sisters who invade your space and who in different ways challenge you and irritate you and humiliate you and all the rest of it, there's plenty of scope for unrighteousness. But Jesus graduated through that with righteousness. If you want to be exposed as unrighteous, then work in the trades. Jesus was a tradesman, working on the building site, working in the pre-Black and Decker age when it was hard graft. And when there were all kinds of obstacles to progress, Jesus lived among men who would have been the roughest. I mean, Nazareth itself had a reputation for being just beyond the pale in terms of the rusticity and crudity of its citizens. Jesus, as a tradesman in that context, well, all around them there would have been, no doubt, cursing and blasphemy and sharp practice and all the rest of it. Jesus remained righteous. I was thinking too, you know, it's probably a real place of testing regarding the quality of your righteousness to be married. Certainly, your spouse will find out your faults. But Jesus wasn't married. Jesus was a single man. And in some ways that's perhaps more difficult, because particularly in the sphere of sexual temptation. And Jesus was righteous in that sphere as well, in his thought life. Pure. What a challenge to us. What a challenge to our crude society today, with all its imagery to titillate. Jesus had a pure mind, and a pure heart, a pure life in all these different contexts. And of course there's the context of suffering, which Jesus was well acquainted with. He suffered temptation constantly. He knew what it was to suffer privation. He knew what it was to suffer from the taunts and mockery of others. And he knew what it was to suffer physically, the horrors of the cross and the flagellation before it. But in all of that, he was righteous. In all of that, God remained in fellowship with him and was well pleased with him. Jesus didn't stumble. Jesus was sure-footed, a man who was righteous in life and righteous in death. So if you want to be righteous today, you need righteousness to come from another source than from yourself. And the source that the Christian gospel tells us it comes from is Jesus Christ, a righteousness that comes from God, says verse 9. So you don't look within yourself. You don't try and find it within yourself. You don't try and find it within religion or within good works. You find it within Jesus. Let me use three little technical words often used by people who think about these things, theologians. Righteousness is not intrinsic. That is, you're not born with it. It's not something you have. Neither is righteousness infused. It's not something that's kind of put into you so that it's your possession. It's something that's within you then. It's not like that. Righteousness is imputed. It's counted as yours. It's given to you as a gift from God, even though it's not within you, even though it's not something you've achieved yourself. It's imputed. Where do you find it? You find it in Christ. You find it by looking to Jesus. That's why we have these portraits, the Gospels, that show us a life that is peerlessly perfect, that is gloriously righteous, for us to mull over and meditate upon and enjoy. Because in that life, we see the righteousness that we don't have, but that God would give to us through Jesus. So as I close today, I simply ask the question, where are you looking for your righteousness? Are you pleased with yourself? Because that is not righteous enough. You are not righteous enough. You might, by your righteousness, make yourself to be a decent enough person, respectable and a good citizen. But that is not going to enable you to live with God. Where are you going to find righteousness? Where are you looking for it today? Or in who do you glory today? To use an expression that Paul uses in verse 3, he says he glories. Not in himself. He used to do that. He glories now in Christ Jesus. Where is your righteousness going to come from? If it's going to come from anywhere that is satisfactory, if it's going to come from anywhere that is sufficient, if it's going to come from anywhere that will meet the need of having fellowship with God, it's got to come from Jesus, not yourself. So God is telling us today to put our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ. May God help each of us to launch out into this year, looking at Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed in him and trusting in his righteousness, because that will be peace to our souls and that will be blessing to our lives forever. Amen.